Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 179, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. This is Adam in studio with...
Linz.
And Tony.
Today's episode, we got over all of the history for the Dark Knight series so that we could prep ourselves for the review of Dark Knight 3.
We talked about the trailers that just dropped for Civil War and Batman vs. Superman.
We also learned where you can go to find your love of geek stuff as well as education of nerdiness.
Absolutely. Sit back, enjoy episode 179 titled Nerd Dating Sites. Do any reading of like political commentaries on media trends.
That doesn't sound like something that it's enjoyable.
No. That sounds like almost downright awesome if awesome was the opposite of fun.
Which is pretty much my life. It's just one of those days. I'm excited for that to not be around anymore.
Yeah.
Plus being 10 years older than everybody else in your classes. Or most everybody else in your classes, makes it difficult to have intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
So, not that they're all dumb.
No life experience.
It's the sheltered life. Yeah. Like, you know, when you drop references to important comic books that happened, they're like, I wasn't born yet. And he's like, neither was I. This happened in the 60s, dumbass. Why don't you read a book?
That's kind of the reason why we get together every week to record is because we got our nerd friendship. We enjoy these things.
Oh, absolutely. And
I got the most nerded friendship text ever this week.
Who's it from?
It was from Derek.
Okay, great.
We haven't chatted, you know, as much as we used to when he used to record, but it had me laughing. There's this game that we play, Marvel Puzzle Quest, and me and him, regardless of what we're doing, unless like I'm camping, no signal, we play it at least once every single day so we get the daily rewards. Me and him are the commanders on our team so we can see who else is playing and not. So my phone, which has a ton of pictures, tons of audio, tons of everything, didn't have room for this newest update of this game. So I haven't played it for a couple days. I get a random text message out of nowhere from Derek saying, dude, are you okay? I haven't seen you play for 2 days. And I go... Yes, everything, and I explained it to him, but then I go, that right there was true nerd friendship. Like, that was not the text random expected anything, like, but it was so cool that he knows me enough and knows that, like, he was seriously thinking, did you go in the hospital because you haven't played?
Wow, that says a lot of different things.
It does. Most of them good.
Yes.
Some of them not. But you know what? Ultimately, I think that Derek just illustrated what we all know. Tony needs a girlfriend.
So, ladies.
So, I mean,
if you're down to Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Or what was your post this week? Hulu and commitment. Yeah. No, that's really what Tony's looking for is Hulu and commitment, mainly because he wants somebody to pay for the Hulu.
Email your applications to drunkoncomics@gmail.com.
The gingers will go through them and
approve them.
We'll set you up if we think that it's going to be a good match. Please include a picture of the Hulu membership.
Why isn't there like a geek dating website? There's Christian Mingle, you know, there's Farmer Mingle.
Interestingly enough, and not you know, to put too fine a point on this one, I was on one for a little bit.
It was run by the
Suicide Girls, actually.
Oh,
if you guys,
okay.
Yeah. They had one that was called Let's Date. And it was like, are you geeky? Are you a nerd? Are you a sci-fi dork? Like, and it had all of these like categories that you could put yourself in. And I met some pretty cool people through that one, to be honest. It was a lot of fun. Usually had, I mean, conversation skills of most nerds. So it was a lot of texting. But, you know, I did actually get a chance to go out with a couple of people and met some really wonderful people out of it. I just don't know if there's any more, like, you know, datemynerd.com or...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we can come up with a really good title for that one, too. Like, you know, Love in Comics or something like that.
That's the next gold mine out there for
There we go.
For dating sites.
Farmers can have their own dating website.
Right.
What's up, nerd community?
Be My Superhero. We can have Enrique Iglesias like revamp the song. They have all the Marvel, our Marvel DC indie, you know, people in the background like swaying and dancing. I think we might be onto something. I feel like all the dating videos would then have to be like you in the outfit that is most like your personality. So like if you're, you know,
I'm Clark looking for my Lois.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're dressed up like you're Superman, or if you're, you know, a misogynist who is a little self-centered and unpredictable, you're dressed up like Iron Man.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like at that point, at least you'd be able to call him like you see him and be like, I wouldn't do well with that one. Ooh, Henry Pym and an intellectual that's going to, I'll probably die over.
Bruce Wayne goes after the older women looking for a mother figure.
Ooh. Either that or he only wants the bad girls who are just going to steal his heart.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. This is, I think we need to get on this.
This could very well be something
as
that
soon
works.
As possible.
Then, but then you get the weird person who's in there like dressed
up. I like how you pointed
like,
to, he pointed to me, the weird person.
Well, I mean, without putting too fine a point on it, I mean, Lindsay would be on there dressed like Optimus Prime. I'm here to save you from yourself. You don't have to talk like that, Lindsay. Like
she'll have the Cisco thong song on, dumps like a truck. Truck.
I mean, it would be the worst thing. Tony and I are trying to, like, hold straight face while we're recording this for him and be like, you're getting nowhere. You're getting nowhere. This is bad decisions.
I don't know if I'd want to meet the people who'd be down for that situation.
I mean,
cosplayers?
I don't think you'd get the cosplayers at that point.
No, probably the, you know, like the first episode of Venture Brothers, you get the guy that's just really turned on by technology.
Right. Yeah.
He just gets off to that.
Oh, right. My God. That's going into real life stuff that I've seen. That, like the I'm in love with inanimate objects.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever show they had on TLC or something where the people love their cars.
Mm, love them.
Oh, love them.
They love them. Ew.
There's the muffler for a reason.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Just gasoline goes in the gas tank, guys. Just gasoline.
Yeah. You know, it's true, but there's a whole bunch of, like, you know, exhaust port jokes in there, too. Like, Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country, things got to have a tailpipe, right? Just launch that photon torpedo right up in there.
Oh, God.
All right, let's get down to business instead of talking about dating. Dark Knight 3 came out the other week,
yeah.
And holy shit, was this amazing.
Yes.
Enjoyed the insert for Adam number 1.
Yes. Which, you guys left yours in the book, right? You didn't pull it out.
Oh, yeah.
Why does it? Well, actually, I borrowed this one from Derek because I didn't get a chance to run out and get it yet.
Okay.
So I took it out for him because I'm a good friend.
Oh, no. He's going to punch you in the face.
I'm just kidding. Young Neil is safe. He's probably going to hear this podcast and be like, Derek, rip bastard.
Last time I gave him one of my comic books.
Yeah. No, left it in there.
Well, that's something that needs to be said, too, which I asked each of you individually. Did you read that when you got to it, or did you wait till the end?
I waited till the end.
We all waited till the end.
I.
And that's the way that it should be, because it gives away a little bit of
the end
of this first book.
Yeah.
I feel that they should have maybe put this at the end, because any readers that did say, oh, what is this? Maybe I'm going to stop and read it. Like,
even just a post-it note on the front that says, read this last, would have been a good option. But
you know what I also do like, now that I'm just thinking of it as I see it right here, that the Atom, whose power is pretty much like Ant-Man, who can go move up, you know, be bigger or smaller. This is a mini comic book.
Oh.
Small.
Oh, I didn't connect that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed.
Good job, Tony.
Myself.
I'm impressed that Tony got it and we didn't.
Tony had a thought.
He put on his thinking cap.
I love that. I do say, like, I was a little taken aback through all of this because I didn't understand, you know, a lot of the Adam's animosity, I guess, as he was kind of going through, like, his whole diatribe of being sad and like, where is this going? Is he going to, like, come in to save the day? Like, because that's kind of an obscure character to...
But so, it kind of goes to Dark Knight, too.
Right. I was going to say, so here's the question. Did you read the first and second series of Dark Knight?
I mean, I feel like after the conversation with Tony, nobody read the second one.
It's, yeah, it, like, got pretty bad reviews when it came out. but
no, Tony, and I, Tony and I actually did sit through and read through all of these. Unfortunately, I was much more of a Marvel and the DC comics that I was reading were pretty much exclusively Vertigo.
Okay.
I was only into that stuff. A lot of the – because I love the villains in DC, but their heroes would – I'd get bored.
Right.
And so that's why I really like Frank Miller, because he brings a light or a darkness.
A darkness,
I think, is
yes.
the more important part to these heroes, yes. that makes it approachable.
Well, the Dark Knight Returns, along with The Watchmen, which came out – The Watchmen came out in the middle of the first Dark Knight series.
Right.
And it actually influenced the way Frank Miller took the Dark Knight.
I'm sure.
Going forward. But they say that those two books are what ushered in the dark era of DC Comics, which I'm A-okay with.
I've been much happier now that I'm reading through these, because a lot of them were, I mean, Night of the Owls was fun, and like All Hallows Eve, is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah. Reading through those, fun. Little darker, a little more twisted,
right.
But this pervasive humanism that they're dealing with their own demons. I'm loving particularly the actual image in Dark Knight 3 of Superman frozen to his throne.
Yes.
Oh, there's a lot of mystery in here that's from DK2 to this that
right.
is missing, which obviously is part of the allure of.
Right.
What's going on in the series. But let's back up to the first Dark Knight Returns.
Yes.
I'll let you do that.
All right. So Dark Knight Returns came out in 86, four-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, Bruce Wayne, is retired at this point. He's
Whoa.
55. Spoiler alert. Bruce Wayne is Batman, you guys. but because the crime has gotten so bad in Gotham, and he just feels useless as a normal person. Nobody can see my air quotes. I'm doing it again. he comes out of retirement to go after... I think the first person he goes after is Harvey Dent,
mm-hmm.
who has had surgery to make himself look normal, but is still Two-Face. Like,
yeah, he's 100% the
yeah.
evil
yeah.
person. Yeah.
And then this comic introduces Carrie Kelly, who is... Robin, essentially. The only female Robin, I think, that they've had so far ever, right?
Yeah, I've actually honestly stopped reading a little bit of Batman after Court of Owls and Year One, actually. There was a chick that was introduced in there that seemed almost like it would be the new girl Robin, but I honestly...
No idea, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever went with that or not.
But essentially, this just runs through... you know, him going after Harvey Dent, and then he goes, this group called the Mutants are going after him, and that's when he meets Carrie Kelly, and she kind of saves him and makes herself his new Robin, just forces him to take her on as his ward. My favorite part of this whole series is when Batman comes back, Joker comes back. Like, he's been in a catatonic state for a really long time, and when Batman comes back, it awakens him, and he convinces people to let him go on a talk show where he kills everybody. It's like a Letterman-type night show.
Yeah, Letterman used to kill people, too.
he ends up going to a carnival or something of that nature, a fair, and starts killing people there. And that's when Batman confronts him, and they're fighting, and the Joker breaks his own neck to incriminate Batman as being a murderer. And just the whole idea of that is... Joker killing himself just to set up Batman for being a murderer. I don't know how he thought that would ever happen. I mean, I guess Batman's always on the... cusp of, is he a good guy or a bad guy?
It depends on what series you're watching, though, because Batman the Animated Series, good guy.
Right.
Like, even these new Batman movies, pretty much on the side of good
right.
guys. In this world, no, he's looked at as a bad guy, as someone that shouldn't be out there, even though, even within this, and it was a little jarring, going back to this new DK3 issue, the text kind of, like, to try to make it seem as now, like, it was the bat or whatever. And
yeah.
Speaking in, like, you know, Twitter talk.
Oh, yeah, when he was texting him that he saw the Batman.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
it was trying to update it and make it seem more relevant to now.
Right.
But even then, people are like, almost in awe of, like, it can't be. Like, I want to believe, but don't. And, yeah, it looks like the police wanted to capture him, but it seemed some of the police, at least a few of them, thought he's still a good guy. The other ones were going to kick his shit, as we talk about later on.
Yes.
Well, going back to The Dark Knight Returns, he's a wanted person, and Superman comes on in.
Yes, because Superman's government stooge in this one. So it sets up the whole Batman versus Superman that happens in almost every single run of Batman that you ever see.
And we don't need to dwell too much upon it, but there is a lot of, from the Christian Bale movies, those three, Christopher Nolan. Yeah. I was going to say Nolan Ryan's a baseball player.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though, man, that guy, he can write.
From those, a lot of what was taken from Dark Knight Returns was prevalent in all those movies, even the new Superman versus Batman, which at the end of this first series, Batman has his robot suit to fight Superman. And with the Krypton type, you know, I think a ring or whatever to help.
Kryptonite,
yes. There you go. Krypton. Well, I guess it's part of Krypton.
It is. So. Just a radioactive version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because of that, well, spoiler alert, but Batman dies at the end.
Yes.
Or does he?
Yeah.
Right.
And that was kind of the cool, and that standing alone would have been a great series to just kind of be, what happens after, I don't know. But then they decided to make Dark Knight 2.
Yep, I'll let you talk about this one.
So within this series, which it was panned for multiple reasons. One was the art.
Oh, art was my goodness.
Good. Hey, big gulps, huh? Well, see you later.
I hope that microphone was on.
Yeah. Cameo appearance by Matt while we're talking about Dark Knight 3.
Heck yeah! I gotta talk about this.
Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you know, I read the new one, and you guys are talking about the old ones?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, we're trying to get people up to date who haven't read this to kind of know the
very
whole...
Very briefly.
Mainly to talk to Adam, because Adam hasn't read these other ones. He can be caught up of what we started off of. He didn't understand what Adam... Adam didn't understand what Adam was doing, and so we're trying to explain it to him.
I know what I'm doing.
D's and T's, man, they're tough.
Yeah.
The only thing that really needs to be known about The Dark Knight Strikes Again is that the art was not up to par on the first one. The biggest was because of, who was it? Klaus Janson didn't do inks on it was a big reason that it looked a little more cartoony, and there were splash pages, like, galore. There was one of the books, and this was a 3-issue series, that had 5 splash pages like in a row that just took away from the depth of what's going on here. The pacing was wrong. But then even the plot of it, which had many of the superheroes, you know, held captive.
Luther was like extorting them all. Either Luther or Brainiac was holding hostage over them, which was a nice, you know, again, being that this is a different universe in the future type deal, but it still has those characters being who they are.
Right.
Master manipulators and definitely the biggest threats. Yes. So
that's pretty much all you need to know about the Dark Knight Returns.
So, but what about Adam?
So Adam
was one of the people that when they broke them all out.
One of the reasons that that they were able to control Superman or to blackmail him essentially is because they had that shrunken the shrunken city from Krypton.
Oh.
And so Adam sneaks in there and does some stuff to help break free of Brainiac's control in there.
Right.
And so that's where he came into the part of the big plot. Because once they got Superman free, once they no longer had leverage over Superman, he immediately turned around and beat the crap out of, you know, the people who've been blackmailing him for years. So.
Got it.
So there's a big to-do about Superman and all the other friends, but then it kind of gets to the end where Batman, along with Carrie, you know, they confront the Joker-like person who was Robin, which is also another lead-in to the many fan theories of this Joker that they see, like, painted the ha-ha-ha on Batman's shirt for the new movie that's coming out. More likely is going to be a Robin and not like the true Joker, which is why people can get over the fact that he's tattooed up because he's not truly Joker. He's another
Dick
Joker
Grayson
person.
Or whoever.
So that's kind of how that went about. And Batman fell kind of to his death, but Superman rescued him at the last minute. And
again.
Yes.
Predictable.
But the Nobody dies in heroes. And, you know, that's kind of the end of that. So now we get to this, where we're seeing... Well, we're going back to the Adam thing. That's why the Adam thing is is in there.
Yeah, and he's
important. Well, and they introduced Lara in two, right?
Yep. Yes, so, and Superman and Wonder Woman's...
Yes, a lot of the speech that he's making is about how she was introduced in this comic, and they kind of threw her under the bus a little bit.
Yeah, so now that you see that there's a Batman running around, you're kind of like, oh, Batman's back, yay, cool, kicking ass, taking names. And that ending, man, that just totally was like...
Are we doing the spoiler free or?
No, I guess we're just going to fucking talk about this game up 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks, so yeah.
Oh, it has been 2 weeks. Yeah. In which case.
Spoiler alert, spoiler. If you haven't read it,
Batman's dead.
Need to go get
again.
It.
Well, they say Batman's dead. I haven't seen a body, so.
Right.
That's the mystery. But that it's Carrie underneath the mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She bulked up a little bit to fill out that costume.
She did.
So I'm wondering if they're going after. I really think they are, because I mean, all she's doing is attacking police.
Yeah.
In this, which Gotham police corrupt, right? So
possibly,
probably not a huge, you know, thing. But are they then going after the fact that nowadays there's this whole thing with cops shooting people and that sort of stuff? Are they going to tackle that?
The time, you know, the modern
within the first part with the John Stewart and the Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did definitely seem like it's up to current events, but I'm guessing there's probably a more direct tie that somehow she feels that the Gotham police were
responsible
for Batman's death.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't appear like she's like targeting specific ones. She's just like
going
after all of them. So she probably got some misinformation someplace, and that's why she's doing it. But because I didn't see the cops doing anything particularly. If you're trying to make that statement that the cops are going too far with their job, nothing in this comic is suggesting that to me yet.
Right. So. That is true. That is true.
But you came to join us for one particular tidbit of information. Something that you just were really happy about.
Let's be careful not to milk this point.
Yes. Yeah. and it's not that it was titillating to see. The fact that probably the most appropriate use of a nip slip in any comic I've ever seen is to use what their God gave them for, which is to feed a child.
Yeah.
So I actually missed that when I read the page. I saw the top left corner, and then I went immediately down to the bottom corner. I was like, is she feeding that child? And then I looked back up to the top, and I went, oh, yes, she is indeed feeding that child.
I double took as well.
Yeah.
And I was actually kind of surprised that I hadn't heard anything about like the internet exploding over people either complaining about it,
right?
Or you know, it was like, oh, this is just natural.
This is the thing.
This is what happened. Cool.
I loved this whole series with Wonder Woman because she's fighting this big ass Minotaur bull. I'm not sure what it was. Bull thing.
It's like a Minotaur centaur.
Yeah, with a baby on her back.
Yeah,
she doesn't. No sweat, whatever. And then she's done. She's like, oh, baby's hungry.
Yep.
Right on the boob. Just like any other mom would do.
Yep.
So she's badass.
And she's the queen of the Amazons.
Yep.
So, and I really like how, like, one of the other Amazonians was like, here, I'll take care of the child. And she's like, no, she takes care of the child. And, like,
what I want to
rub your hands off the kid.
Whose child is that?
Yeah. Because we know that Lara is the
Superman baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This one's name is Jonathan. It's more of a normal person's name.
Yeah.
I wonder if she went local.
Hal Jordan.
No, Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner.
He does have Guy Gardner hair.
He does have Guy Gardner hair.
But it's not red, so he's not a ginger.
It's true. So
it can't be Guy Gardner. Although he's still my favorite or Barry. Greenlander.
Nobody loves Barry.
But that is another mystery of the book.
Yeah.
There's so many of these things that I'm hoping that they have more of these mini books within, to flesh out some of these side.
I do like that it was smaller than the normal book, but you can't have it too small.
The McKay boys are on top of that, man. Both of them.
I feel really bad. I missed it.
Okay.
Tony
like,
pointed it out, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. You guys came to that separately too.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So yeah, all in all, like. I can't.
Good first issue to set up the mystery.
Absolutely.
Makes you wanting more. Beautifully drawn. Yes. Even the dialogue is like, I love that it starts with the thugs again.
Yeah.
Because that's how the first one starts with slice and dice and all the stupid slang.
Yeah.
That
they say. Yeah.
And then messages was a nice touch.
It was.
One of my favorite pictures in this though is just seeing Superman frozen
to the
like,
chair.
That's what why? I mean. What is like?
Because it's cold.
But I mean,
he hasn't paid his heating bill, and he's just been sitting there for so long.
Well, you know he's got to be doing that out of his own
choice.
Wanting to sit there. Yeah. Like, there's going to be a point where he's just going to, like, open his eyes and break out of it.
Yeah. Like, what did he do that he feels so bad about that he put himself in?
Yeah, because can ice really stop Superman? He probably felt really bad, and he went,
oh, snap. Well, I do it with my eyes closed. So they're stuck. I can't get them open. No, you know, I really liked the line that Lara had that was, what did the ants do that could have caused you to fall out of the sky?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really impressive to me.
I wanted her to go up to the bottle that the city caters.
What did you do?
What is this? A city for ants?
Yeah. It needs to be at least three times as big.
You're right. No, it does. It's interesting that they sent up smoke signals, knowing that she was walking by. So, yeah. Like, how long has that city been sitting there, like, staring out, hoping someone's going to look at them?
Right.
Also, not to, you know, call infrastructure or any other weird things. How do they survive in there? It's not like they're time-locked. They're
super
not
science.
Getting any sunlight.
I'd usually say magic, but I'm going to go with super science on this one.
Yes.
I mean, because obviously Superman hasn't been paying his heating bill, and they haven't frozen.
It looked like there was a tube coming from the jar, glass bell.
Yeah, there's
jar,
the
so
generator.
Like they're still getting, heaters.
Or I don't whatever. Know. That,
they
that
have
is,
heat
they're,
vision.
They're
they are Kryptonian.
Well, but again, they're not exposed to our atmosphere either.
Oh, okay. That's
so
true.
They wouldn't. They're still technically on a chunk of Krypton that's just not irradiated.
Right. All right. That's fair.
Nerd.
Sorry. Well, I can't wait for more of Dark Knight 3, the Masked Race, come out. And
right.
Yes.
I just hopefully it stays on time and it doesn't take 3 years like Sandman.
Well, Frank Miller has also said that he's making a number four now.
Yeah, because this was supposed to be the final chapter.
Yeah,
and then because everyone loves trilogies.
Right.
Well, while writing this, he just goes, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to announce it now. I'm doing a fourth.
You know what I really think it is? I think Frank Miller is a great lover of the classics, and he is very sad that the Super Bowl has taken away Roman numerals, ergo he keeps writing more Dark Knight books so that people are fluent in Roman numerals again. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
I don't know if I buy any of that, right. But...
I gotta get some more big gulps. So,
all right.
If you guys enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Well, thanks for joining us, Matt.
Bye! Bye!
Well, that was random and unexpected.
That was fun.
Love
Yay,
moments
Matt.
Like that.
To be honest, I really like planning those moments. Like, seriously, like, I know my brother's gonna show up, he'd text me, but I didn't this week, so that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I would like to have his thoughts and foresight within... the new trailer for Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
A.K.A. The Orcs Attack. thing looked like a cave troll.
Young Neil and I decided, well, he said Sloth from the Goonies.
I saw that
yes.
comment, yeah.
And I was more like, maybe Sloth and the Thing had babies?
Yeah.
With laser eyes.
he looks a lot like the Piggly Wiggly character from Lord of the Rings. The pink orc, or the white orc.
Okay.
He was pink, and he was gross. And I can't remember that character's name off the top of my head. I should turn in my ringer card now. Anyway, he looks a lot like that. He's just kind of disfigured.
He looks too scrawny, too not like Doomsday. Like, from Smallville, the TV show, that Doomsday looked way cooler than this Doomsday, and that was a TV show budget.
Yep.
So, theory... on Doomsday in this is that they're going the Doomsday virus route, which
means multiple Doomsdays.
Well, all Kryptonians have the Doomsday virus in them, but it needs to be unlocked, and that's what Lex did with
Zod's body.
It unlocked it in him and turned him into Doomsday.
Oh, I 100% think that, but if you're going to have it's almost like having a character show up with a suit of armor that is robotic, that is red and gold, but then calling him Nuke Superstar. No, that's fucking Iron Man. Or you have another person that shows up in a cape and a cowl, but you call him Iron Man. There are certain things right. to certain characters if you're going to name them. This doesn't look like Doomsday at all.
No.
This looks like kid version. Now, the hope is with Doomsday in the comic books, he had, through advancements, through evolution and science, to they kept being killed so that he'd become back stronger, right. faster, smarter, and wouldn't be able to die from the previous version. I do hope that we see a transformation of them kicking his ass, and then he comes back to look as how he should.
Right.
However, I'm left more with this trailer left me wanting. Like, it did not fulfill. The last one where Superman unmasks Batman, I was like, whoa, that was cool. And that was just a quick scene.
Yeah.
Right.
This now gave away way too much. It shows when Wonder Woman comes in the fold.
I loved that scene. I'm not going to lie.
See, and she totally just... We have a very different opinion on that one. I loved her approach.
Yes.
I loved how they brought her in. I didn't like the commentary between Superman and Batman.
It
felt contrived.
Yeah. You don't you?
Where
I think
you?
I thought she was with you. Like, yeah. Wow, nice job, bowling league.
Batman, who has been researching, wanting to kick Superman's ass, would have his network of spies to realize there are other supers in this world.
Right.
To have him that caught off guard is taking away his only superpower.
Yeah. Well, right. She probably came out of nowhere. I mean,
but that if he didn't hear Legends or whatever, he could have said something like, This reminds me of something, or they could have in previous spot like just shown the Batcave with something showing
right
Wonder Woman.
I mean, there's a
lot of other things that they could have done that I just felt that talking between them, they didn't even need to say anything.
Right,
could have said thanks.
Oh yeah, right. You could have had a very very
she doesn't
charming,
have to be
classy
with
line in there. No, she doesn't. And the more important thing is if things had escalated to the point where she felt the need to get involved, even if she had previously never been on anything of the radar at all, this should have been a bigger, like,
right.
Do you know who she is? Be like, nope.
Yeah.
This is fucking crazy. Right. Like, really blow up the disproportion, as opposed to,
right.
I thought she was with you.
the better God way to go it. Would have Come been on. When Batman says, let me show you how to be a man, which probably isn't even part of that scene, but then she jumps in and she's like, no, let me show you how to be a man.
Oh, yeah, would have loved that. big approach for it. You know, we don't have Aquaman. You know, he hasn't been launched into this yet, and we know that.
Yeah, it will probably just be a quick cameo, something in a fight, and then he'll
probably
dive back into the water.
Yeah.
He'll just be swimming by being like, oh, no one called me.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Well, I feel like Snyder is throwing way too much into this than what needs to be. Just have those two, maybe have Wonder Woman show up at the end. But he's trying to make this an Avengers-type movie.
Well, it's the Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, but to me, I feel that there's a full story that could be battling the different mindsets of Superman and Batman.
Well, and to parallel with this, they actually include this enormously long cut part of scene between Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent meeting. And it was bad.
Yeah.
Was anybody else, like, really disappointed? Like, that's the wittiest banter you guys had with Lex Luthor being introduced between the two of you? Really, writing? Like, come on. Like, Lex looks great.
Oh.
I like what Jesse Eisenberg appears to be taking with it. I think it's going to be very strong. But you had these two, literally two sticks in a mud, staring at each other being like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Like,
what do you think about the Batman and his little half-smirk?
like I don't know. Like, why is this the first thing that comes out of your mind? Like, like you guys are not stupid. Like, you seem like it, though.
Yeah.
And you make Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor seem like the evil genius, not because he's written well, but because you guys seem stupid to a fault.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm going to do? We have a big problem. Let me punch it. Like, no, maybe, maybe not that ever again. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. I mean, and if it is Doomsday Virus and it's something that comes out that way, that'll be fun.
Right.
I don't know, like, distribution, what he's going to do. Bottle it as, you know, cologne, and it'll be like Bod by Zod. have a
Comic-Con.
I was going to say, have a physique that you'll die for, you know, like...
Uh, I wasn't mad at this trailer. I mean, there were parts that were, you know, I go into these movies with very low expectations. So when they're decent, then I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. So this didn't lower my expectations. I didn't increase them exponentially.
I think I was wanting it to,
you know, satisfied from not revealing too much was Civil War.
Also true.
Yes.
I thought that was, and that's where part of this feels forced. They may not even be totally done with the CGI of Doomsday.
Right.
But this came out probably quicker than what they planned on doing a reveal for this trailer, because Civil War one came out and they're like, oh shit, now everyone's talking about that. We need to get back to us.
Yep.
Let's do more.
Let's build the hype because we're launching soon and they're not.
Right.
Well, Batman comes out before theirs, but it's only a couple of weeks, I believe.
It is. However, if you are going to take media swell away from something that's coming out sooner than you, you're doing a great job dwarfing that ticket sale.
Here's the thing, though, I still think, though, is like they should just realize they got to wait till like maybe another month or two when Star Wars hype runs down.
Right.
And then they can start.
Deadpool comes out in January, you guys. I'm more excited about that one than anything.
Wait, when?
January.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I have not been seeing any recent. I've lost on the hype train.
I was going to say that the hype train has been swelled for so long that it's a very big thing. I would surmise sometime in the next 2 weeks you're going to start seeing major push.
Yeah.
Because everybody was already gung-ho for it, very excited. I know they're not pushing it back. The filming has been wrapped.
I want to be a writer on those ad campaigns. Like, I would love to just have him coming out of, like, a theater and, like, the matinee says Star Wars and him just being like, that was a pretty good movie. I hope you guys come see mine. Deadpool in theaters, January. Yep. Like, something like that would be hilarious. I would have so much fun with this character.
Did you see because Deadpool has a YouTube channel.
Yes, he does.
And he did the one where he...
Oh, it's great.
He was the little kids dressed as like the different superheroes, and he's talking to them as if they're the superheroes.
Yeah,
Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I did see that.
That was hilarious.
Is this on YouTube Red?
No, I don't think so.
You can find it at RedTube.
I know. That was an unfortunate choice by YouTube. But anyway, back to Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War. Looked really sweet. Shows kind of, well, already from the posters we knew whose side was on who.
Yep.
But we get more. Actually, I don't even think they're showing the whole scope of why they're doing the Civil War. It's got to have to come down to some sort of registration. If it doesn't, that's pretty much what all of them have been.
Correct.
And I'm going to get into a little bit of the multiple different type of Civil Wars Marvel has had. But right now, it seems it's mainly over Bucky.
Well, and so when they're sitting there at the table and they're talking to Captain America, they threw that big stack of paper. What was the name of the city that fell to the ground that in the movie Age of Ultron?
I don't know. It's not a city anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but it was the name of that city. It was like that accord. So they had created this accord because of all the destruction from
everything that happened.
The city rising up in the air and falling to the ground. So,
and I feel like a lot of it's going to come from Tony being conflicted now because he did everything with the best of intentions, but we all know what that paves to. And I think that he's doing a lot of these, he's making a lot of these decisions, and he's backing a lot of this stuff out of his obligation to guilt.
Right.
Oh, we already know, though, Cap's feelings on it from the comic books as revealed in the other Captain America movie, Winter Soldier, where he's like, I don't think you guys should be doing this, and he's kind of apart from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to have something to do with powers and this and that. But, like I said, I love that they're throwing in a little more personal with Bucky and allowing him to be on a team and to have that kind of probably be the catalyst to truly start. Because when it comes down to a fundamental difference, in comic books, you're reading it, and you're like, whatever. Watching it on screen, you don't get that personality, but when you're attacking your friend, they're saying they're going to kidnap. Now I'm 100% like, but you don't want to be on anyone's side because you could still be on the side of Iron Man even though he was painted as a bad guy in the comic books.
Sure. You know, they haven't had any major leak or lean towards Spider-Man, though we know that there's likely a cameo for part two coming out of that. It's been very
huge. Yeah, and that's another thing, too, to remember. This is supposed to be two movies.
Yep. I have a feeling a lot of this is going to focus around the fact that this accord looks to really want to have obligations to, like, the people that you serve.
Right.
So it's not so much that, like, we need you to be registered, but we need you to be accountable for all of your actions. And Bucky is now that his secret is out, As the Winter Soldier, he has committed war crime after war crime. And even though he has no memory of any of this, I really feel like they're going to string him up and use him as the example, like the break point. And if they do that, like, I can see exactly, like, I have a feeling that's why Captain's going to step in and be like, nope, like, that's not okay. He didn't know. He didn't have any choice in this. I'm not allowing you to take someone who's innocent and just throw him under the bus. And I think that, you know, that that'll be a good point for conflict, you know, or a breaking point between friends. Like, there's that line from Cap and Iron Man going, you know, you got to stand up for your friends. Like, I was your friend, too.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
and
man.
Tony looks like he's about to cry.
Yeah.
Not this Tony.
In the comics, maybe. Too, Speedball was pretty much the person that was laid out to be,
well, yes,
you know, the pinpoint.
Blew up a school.
Yeah, when he blew up the school in Stanford and the New Wars versus Nitro and going about it. That's what caused the whole one small little event that happened in one of the books, which happens in multiple books all the time anyway.
Yeah.
It's so awesome that that little incident became such a significant
thing. The problem was is this group of villains, former villains, and then this group of kind of heroes who were making their own reality show were living in this neighborhood and nobody knew it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you have a sex offender living in your neighborhood and you don't know it. That sort of thing.
Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where Lindsay lives, there's a couple of registries you can check out. Just kidding.
So that was the reason for that Civil War. Then we have coming into recently with Secret Wars. Right. Theirs was over territory and over land, and still a bit over registering or being free. Captain America's people had more of the area and land, where Iron Man was more stuck in like a city, but they had all the resources where Captain's people didn't. So they had to kind of do some trading. One was more free, one was more, you know, dictatorship. And that all came about was because of T'Challa and him starting this war, but it wasn't even really him. It was a Skrull, which was funny because, of course, it had to be a Skrull and everything, which Civil War kind of bled into Secret Invasion, which I'd love to see them do, but they can't because of not owning the Skrulls, right? So that was a secondary look at the Civil War thing.
Absolutely.
The third one that we're going to get before this movie is the new Civil War that Marvel has said that they're going to have coming out as their spring event come this spring. Ugh. Really? Do we need another Civil War? This Civil War that the movie...
Do you think it's going to be the movie version?
I think it's going to be in term stories between. I really think that they're going to launch it to continue to build hype.
Yeah.
Because they're going to sell a ton more comics. It's going to pull more people in.
But what it has Iron Tony, but it still has Falcon, Captain America, Sam Wilson, as the new, as the Cap still, and it's him coming against Iron Man still for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about as much, they're actually keeping a little tight-lipped on it, mainly because they're smart and they're still pushing out more stuff for Secret Wars.
Sure.
So that hopefully finally ends in a couple weeks, if it ever does. But until that's done,
that's the secret. That's the secret war. It has nothing to do with the comics. It's actually just a war on us and whether or not we're going to fight
keep
through to the
them,
end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because of that, there's going to be the new conflict, whatever it is, rehash it. So it's not even going to be 100% what even the movie is. So
the movie has nothing to do with
the comics. Yeah, we don't know. But it doesn't need to know, but that's what I'm saying. There's the original Civil War, there's a Secret War Civil War, there's another Civil War, and then there's the movie universe Civil War.
So
how many Civil Wars do we need?
Essentially, they took this really great event. Civil War was just amazing. And all those little side, because it was huge.
That was the beginning of Marvel's dominance on doing events. It went Secret Wars, or not Secret Wars, it went whatever we just talked about. Civil War.
Yep.
Secret Invasion, Siege. They also, I think, threw in the hammer thing, which was really not good. Do you remember that one?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, everyone got a hammer. Odin's brother came back.
Read that one.
I don't think
Fear itself. Fear itself.
Fear itself. Yes.
That's the hammer thing.
Yeah. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Hammer came from all over. Juggernaut got
a hammer. Yeah, I got it now.
You get a hammer.
I mean, but that was a subplot of that. So I was like, What
Tony was there, just like, really all didn't I could, like Fear Itself, all, so that's the only you thing he
did,
remembers.
You did hate Fear Itself, and that's yeah, and all I could think of is like all of these like heroes and villains with like their own Mjolnirs like swinging at each other. I mean, not really, but I see where your brain was going. I was seriously racking. I was like, I don't think I missed anything, yeah. But I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
No, and you're right, because we do have these beautiful story arcs. They really I feel like they perfected the ability to have a story arc bleed into multiple other story veins,
yes.
In for better and for worse, because now I feel like I have to buy a bunch of other things.
After Secret Wars, before Siege, was Dark Reign, which was also a very good fucking series.
Yep.
As a whole, of having the bad guys become some kind of good,
right.
Trying to make their own Avengers, yep. You know, Osborn being in charge,
yeah,
was a totally different
the Thunderbolt
trip.
View of life.
Yeah, and those were just some great series that just came out mainly from Michael Bendis,
yep.
Brian Michael Bendis, but through him saying,
as opposed to that other Michael Bendis guy,
yeah.
I don't know if there is.
Well, I want to say his full name and I pretend like I thought yeah. His first name was Michael. But
oh no, we're really close. I just call him Michael.
Just go middle name first.
Yep.
But yeah, there is so much good stuff that came out from those that I would love to see on the big screen.
Right.
Hopefully they do that, but yeah. We also already know their timeline. And that's that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see all the team. Iron Man Team Captain America shirts that come out of this.
I mean, I feel like this will be the best Team 1, Team 2 comparison since Twilight.
Yes.
And that won't make me want to kill myself.
It's way better than that, yes.
Right?
100%.
I mean, yeah, and I think that what they're really going to try and do in this film, and this is my very deep hope for this one, so take it to the bank. I want to feel conflicted. I want to have to really look at my life in trying to pick a side. And I think that that's what this entire first film is going to be. I think the end of this first movie is going to be good feeling gone. You're going to finish the movie. You're going to walk out of the theater in a daze. You're going to have to see it 3 or 4 more times,
yeah.
And still not know how you feel at the end of it, because they need the resolution to be big in the next one, because there are more superhero films to follow,
right.
Between part 1 and part 2. So that's why I'm thinking, you know what, some of this comic may bleed over. They may have Falcon step into the shoes, right. Of Captain America, and Captain America goes underground by the end of first part 1.
Was it the end of Civil War, the comic book, that Captain America dies?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then that's when the Winter Soldier comes back, right? And
mm-hmm. He becomes dead for a good...
Yeah.
Which is also what has been talked about and thought is going to happen at the end of this movie series, too.
Right.
But that was also when Chris Evans
said
about,
he wasn't
didn't want to do it anymore. He
yes.
was getting away. Now he's been kind of like, I want to be Captain America.
He's
more.
He's like, I got really drunk and said that. No idea what I was talking about.
You know, and that was the interesting thing is he's made a couple of comments about it in prior things, being like, you know, I get bored with projects. I don't really know. He's also infamous for his ability to be in franchise roles without knowing any of the lore or backstory for anything else and still doing a phenomenal job,
right.
Which is stupid. Like, how do you not do any of the research and still
awesome.
Pull this off?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he must have had a really good conversation. He probably sat down with Ryan Reynolds and was like, okay, look, I've read all of these books. You're like, let me give you some of my nerddom.
Well,
like,
I think Chris Pratt is exactly the same way.
Yeah.
It was over the Super Bowl that they were talking about, man, yo, awesomeness is dressing up every weekend and going.
You know, and I think that more than anything, I think that Chris Evans as an individual, as a human being, you'll notice more and more in the media, and I don't know if this is a direct correlation to him taking the role or us getting to see him more often because he's famous. He has been good guy Chris Evans so much now, like award ceremonies, walking the elderly people up to get their awards and then going back to his seat and like not saying a word about it.
Right.
But like, it's not that he's been doing this like for the publicity. I don't feel that it's you know, silver screen grabbing, you know, trying to find the limelight wherever he can. I just feel like as he's been doing this role, the longer he's been Cap, the more he is like Cap in real life. And
right.
I wonder if he was a really genuinely great person before. I mean, I'm sure he was a fine guy.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if these qualities are now something that he's doing, and he's starting to self-identify as Cap. Like, where he's like, you know what I feel really good about? being the right. All-American Boy Scout.
He's going to be 80 and be like, I was Captain America, you guys.
Yep. And he's like, he's still going to be walking like yeah. other 85-year-olds across the street and be like, no, let me do this. I got you.
Thing is, though, is with technology catching up to life right now, I could see him truly getting a serum to last longer to really prolong that I was Captain America. Yeah. Trust me.
No, yeah. absolutely.
For sure.
It'll be interesting to see what he does in the next couple of years, but I think that, you know, with the bleeding over of superhero movies, I think it's going to be a very interesting time for theater in the next couple of cinema in the next couple of years, particularly with, you know, Ryan Reynolds effectively saying he'll financially back any of his future Deadpool films.
Right.
Not that he'll need to, but just being like, I want these to happen.
I think that's part of the reason why I'm just so excited about this is he is so behind this character.
Yep.
Like 110%. I always thought I wanted him to be the Flash because
okay.
he has that funny
that
humor.
Attitude.
Yeah. But no. now, yes, now, I get it. Now that he's Deadpool and when he was going to be Deadpool in the Wolverine movie, I was like, "Oh my god, that's awesome."
Yep.
Didn't know they were going to sew his mouth shut.
I feel like he didn't know a lot of these things
yeah,
as it came along.
Probably not.
But you know, it was very cool to see him learn from his mistakes from the
right.
Green Lantern film and signing off on things, and even the studio allowing the authors, which, you know, Fox is notorious for not allowing backtalk from its own films.
Right.
But they've really been like, nope, if we're going to do a Deadpool film, let's make fun of ourselves,
yes.
of our publishers. We have to do this because if we don't, no one's going to like it.
Right.
And so they've already started saying things like, just don't give me a CGI costume.
Yeah.
Like, good. Awesome. Let's keep moving forward, guys. Have fun with this. Let's make fun of ourselves. Let's make this a real social commentary.
Yep.
Oh. BKV came out with a book last week. It's called Barrier Number One.
See, you must be in with him if you're just going by initials now.
Ugh. Man, you are just so much more popular than we are.
Anybody doesn't know, BKV, Brian K. Vaughn.
Yep. Barrier Number One, and you can get it online at panelsyndicate.com for the good old price of Name Your Price.
Yes.
There's a couple other series that he's done, smaller issues, such as like five miniseries and stuff on here, of which they're all Name Your Price. But this one being the newest one, having gone through it, is beautiful, it's amazing, and we will talk about it next week to review. But just telling people out there, if you didn't know about this site, panelsyndicate.com.
Yes. I actually had never heard of it until you mentioned it, and I looked over it, and it is awesome. It's from the creators.
BKV texted me and let me know to
oh,
talk about it. Yeah, that's why you didn't know about it.
I'm so jealous. He's a busy man. I'm sure. I'm surprised he had time to text you. He never responds to my texts.
Yeah, seriously. I don't even think he knows who I am.
But yeah, no. It's. I mean, they post their stuff on here. You pay what you want. And the money goes right to them.
Yep.
There's no middleman or anything like
also,
that.
Also, the site is actually super user friendly. So if you're not real great with technology and you rather have your hardcover books, I mean, spend a couple of seconds on this. You'll find them quickly, and
yeah.
it's worth the perceived amount of money.
So we're going to read this book, Barrier, is that what it's called?
Yep. Talk about it next week.
Yes, so you guys get it too, so you can follow along.
So we don't spoil it for you.
Yeah, because it'll be in 2 weeks by then.
Or you can post or Twitter.
Some of us
Twitter
can
me. Twit. Or you message us about it, your thoughts. We can cover those maybe.
Yep, we would love to have a comment section.
Yeah.
So please don't hesitate to blow us up.
I keep forgetting to bring you guys the questions that I've gotten emailed. Only a couple, but some of them were actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, great. I tell you what, next week we are going to...
One that I do remember, I forget who sent it in, it was more towards you, Linz, of not the big two or even three, throw an image out of there too. What lower, like not big known comic book series is your favorite? And why?
Not out of the big three?
Yeah, kind
of
like, yeah, like exclude Marvel and DC.
I mean, who, you guys can answer that question for me.
But you, no, you're, oh, you're going to say Jem?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
For sure.
Oh,
okay. It is 100%.
I was like, I don't know what she, oh,
yes.
I do know
it is 100%
that.
Jem and the Holograms, for sure.
What if you took that out too? Like, a little known comic book that we would that we've read that that many people may not have.
Oh geez. So can it doesn't have to be recent?
No, something.
Oh, absolutely not.
Like I said, and I'm just kind of going off the question that I remember.
I don't
think it was too specific.
I don't remember if this is an Image book or not, so if it is, I'm sorry. But I read a couple years ago Punk Rock Jesus from Sean Gordon Murphy. By far one of the best things I've ever read. I've reread it at least 3 or 4 times, which I don't hardly ever do. The art in it is great. The story is amazing. And I'm not going to say anything about the story, but if you want something really interesting to read, go find it. It's probably in trade by now, even hardcover, softcover, whatever. Pick it up, read it, and then you'll love Sean Gordon Murphy as much as I do.
See, like, I don't have anything really that hasn't been really known or read. I mean, Valiant's getting bigger, so people will at least know who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to say Fables, but
right.
everyone who hasn't read Fables yet right. needs... to know about them.
Young Terrorists from Black Mask, Young Terrorists number 1. I talked about it on the show, I think, about a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. That was amazing as well. And Black Mask Studios has a lot of stuff coming out right now that is really interesting. And there's one they're putting out, I think it's called We Don't Belong Here. But they make a playlist for every single issue, and they post it on their Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole audio that goes along with the, each comic book they put out.
You know, I think my answer for this is God is Dead. Mainly because I think it is popular. People have known about it. Hickman creating it, so you got his name attached to it.
Right.
But it did have a lot of people fall off when the story just seemed to kind of just going off. But it has, as I mentioned a couple months ago, it has rejuvenated itself enough to where... it's interesting, it's on point, and I'm kind of, like, wanting to read it more.
Right.
And that's something that I think there was a lot... there are still a lot of people reading it because it's still out on comic book shelves, but it's still one of those things that I don't think a lot of people have truly picked up.
That's from Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I was one of the people that fell off reading that one because it just got ridiculous.
Well, like I said, I did too until someone mentioned to pick it back up, and then I go, God, now I have to fill in all the gaps that I missed. Which I really didn't need to, but it was okay to get the full, you know, immersion. But I'd say picking up at number 42 on is the new story arc that you could really care less about what happened before.
Nice.
I heard you guys wanted to go to university.
One in particular. I want to go to Lancaster University.
Why over there, mate?
Well, I think the real reason for it is that they're going to let me get a PhD in comic books. Also, this Cockney accent is one of the worst things I could possibly have.
It was better than Tony's, because his was Australian.
I am Michael Caine, and I have a lot to say. That I will have some tea. No.
Competent tea.
No, the Lancaster University has just recently announced that they are going to allow not only you and your friends, who can get into the school, I'm sure that's probably a prerequisite, you are going to have to jump in, enjoy yourselves as much as you can while you're reading the history of comic books. The gentleman who is offering the main point in teaching this, the professor's name is...
Benoit Peters.
Thank you.
It's French, so I know it's Benoit.
Yes.
Benoit
Peters. it's actually... he's considered the foremost historian on Tintin.
Yes.
Which is fascinating that they ranked that.
There's somebody who that's their thing.
Yeah, and you know what? And I don't blame him. Tintin is wonderful. Right. It's very influential. I don't think comics would be anywhere near where they are today if it weren't for his adventures.
That is true.
However, it's going to walk through all of that. It really also takes a very large stance on where current trends are going, the way that it has interacted with society, culture, economics, technological innovations. I feel like it's going to do wonders for people who actually want to be professional nerds.
Yes, you can get a PhD in nerd.
I mean...
a PhD.
I'm sure it's
not just a BA.
It's not cheap. I mean,
I'll put that on my
BS.
put that on my nerd love profile.
I do feel, yeah, absolutely.
PhD in nerd. I'm
Dr. Nerd. I feel like the only issue with getting a degree in comics like this is that it's effectively the really expensive version of a BA in English. So you're not, I mean, as much as it's going to be great to graduate with this and to have that knowledge, unless you want to stay in industry and work for Marvel, DC, or your own, you know, startup comic book company, it's going to be pretty tough to maintain all of that.
It's like getting a doctorate in very specific history. Like if you were just, you had a doctorate in history of the United States between 1963 and 1964.
But honestly, though, I feel like it's going to go along with my degrees in art and theater and everything else that I'm using right now.
Right. Yeah. That is the hardest part.
Not to knock at any artists or theater people. Just
no. No, you could just teach it instead. That's even better.
Yeah. There you go. You get PhDs, and then more people will teach these at more colleges, and then everyone will just have PhDs in comic books. I was
thinking
books.
In the far-flung future when this is a mainstay, like, thing, comic books.
We've already taken over everything else.
The year of the evolution.
I mean...
The early 2000s when they took over the movie screens, the TV, and now became your tablets and everything.
I mean, you know, you go and you can get a degree in making beer, too. So
you can.
Go get a PhD in comics, and you're...
And you can be the king of drunk on comics.
I mean...
Does that, we will give you
company. I feel like we will give them a crown for something like that.
I'll get on making fair. One. PhDs take a while, so I have some time.
They do.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, let's do booze in a book. Booze in a Book this week brought to you by inkwhiskey.com, as always. I know, Lindsay, you got your shipment finally.
Yes, I did, and I posted pictures on our Facebook and Twitter, so you guys can go check them out. The stuff is amazing.
Have you used them all?
I have used the shot glasses.
I was disappointed that there weren't pictures of you drunk using all of the stuff from there. I feel like... That should be the Drunk on Comics Christmas card. It's just all of us hammered using these things.
I was going to bring them today, and then I didn't. But we're going to have to get on this and use them to get drunk. But the bottle opener, the capper gun, it's like the heaviest bottle opener I've ever held in my hand, ever.
It's solid. You can knock someone out with
it. You could beat the shit out of somebody with this thing. I wouldn't carry it in my purse because my shoulder would hurt after carrying it in my purse all day.
All right.
Well, the book this week is Peanuts, the Snoopy Special from Kaboom. And within it, there was multiple little stories following Snoopy. It was really cute, really awesome. I almost feel bad because this is, it's not a kid's book. I mean, for kids, but Peanuts has always been for everyone.
Yes.
Loved them. I'll never forget when Schultz passed away and being sad at looking at that comic of them just saying goodbye. So with it, I kind of want to honor him with also a great tasting beer. Peanuts and Cracker Jack Porter by the Mitten Brewery.
Absolutely.
I'm not a big dark stout or porter fan. However, this one, it's lighter brown, got hues of the Cracker Jacks and peanuts flavoring.
Well, they actually put real peanuts and Cracker Jacks into the mash to pull through. It's very...
I feel like I don't know why you guys haven't told me about this.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh,
it's an amazing beer. It's their staple of when they open up as a shop. That was their big push beer, and it's now a staple. So Mitten Brewery, Peanut and Cracker Jacks, Porter, amazing to go with the peanuts as well. With that said, anyone got a final thought?
I certainly do.
Okay.
Final thought has a skosh of a backstory. This is a big shout out for Dan Dougherty, who we love, and we're really sorry that we had technical difficulties and didn't actually post the awesome interview that you had with us. However, because we've been following you and your abilities and your comics and your Kickstarter for Touching Evil, we wanted to give you a great big thank you for sitting down with us, and we're glad that the people we did tell about, some of them did back you, so that you made your big point on Kickstarter for $10,000 already with 10 days to go. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. Our final thought for tonight in honor of you is if you want to be a big kid and not have an adult job for the rest of your life, follow the life of Dan Dougherty, because he makes it possible. You look at him and you realize, I too can be a big kid forever.
Awesome.
Nice.
Stay thirsty, everyone.